When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
This episode may contain explicit language. Welcome to Karen Feeding, the show where we parent together. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Karen Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who's 11, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 11, Oliver, who's 9, and Teddy, who's 7. We live in Tokyo, Japan.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I am dad to Noah, who's 6, and Ami, who's 3. We live in Detroit.
Today on the show, we're talking about all things babysitting, starting with a listener question about finding a consistent sitter. We'll also share a round of recommendations. And then, if you're in the Slate Plus Club, we'll continue our babysitting conversation by sharing our own memories of being babysat. Here's what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
I loved it. I mean, my parents went out every Saturday. And so, like clockwork, Mark, Melissa, Amy, these are all babysitters who I remember fondly.
Oh my gosh, you remember their names.
Of course. I mean, first of all, we get pizza, right? So that's great. And like, especially with Mark, you know, like we were talking about, guy babysitters were a little more unique. And, you know, he played the same position in baseball as me. And it really was like this lovely kind of mentee situation. And I look forward to it every week. Formative experiences for sure.
If you're listening on Slate Plus, thank you so much for your support. We'll catch you later for your exclusive segment. If you're not listening on Slate Plus, we hope you'll consider it. There's no better way to support the show. And when you're a member, you also get ad-free listening on all Slate podcasts. Sounds great, right? We think so too. Go to slate.com/careplus for more info. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll see you back here in a moment.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy can do so many things. Therapy has been transformational in my life. It is the reason I am the person I am today. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/KarenFeeding today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/KarenFeeding.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We're back. Let's start with our listener question. This came in from Brian in the Slate Parenting Facebook group. Curious if others can relate to this. We have found it impossible to find a regular sitter for our toddler. We live too far away from family, so that's not an option. Every sitter we find just ends up being too busy to be reliable. We've tended to use local teens recommended by friends and other parents. Most times we're looking, we text with our three go-to sitters, and inevitably, after taking a couple days to respond, they'll tell us they have other obligations. Or worse, they'll initially say yes and then a few days later apologetically reach out saying they've realized there's a conflict. By the time we've reached out to everyone and heard no, a full week may have gone by and it's too late to find someone in time for our plans. Last time this happened, we had reached out to people a month in advance and everyone still had stuff on their calendar. Honestly, I just find the whole experience so exhausting that I'd almost rather not bother. Do other people have this experience? Is it just due to how busy teens are these days, or are we not finding the right people to ask? Pretty much resigned to not having adult plans until our son is old enough to stay by himself. All right, Elizabeth, what say you?
I relate to this so much. I think initially I thought it was like, I was like, oh, we're like in the wrong neighborhood. Like this neighborhood doesn't have any teens. And then of course, you know, we moved and then I'm like, oh, in the Netherlands, we had found a great babysitter and I just tried to like book her as much as possible, you know, like almost like when are you available? And then I'll make my plans.
Oh, that's a good
like
idea.
Like that day.
Reverse engineer your plans.
Yeah. Just like you tell me when you want to work and I will give you work essentially. And that worked. But in the US, I have had a really hard time. And what I have ended up doing, I have found two sources. So homeschool families and large families often are good sources of teen babysitters. So I don't know how you get plugged in with those communities, but I think that this is like gross, you know, generalization that when there are a lot of children or homeschool children, there just seems to be a focus either on letting the kids have jobs or do other things or have that be part, or like the parents just can't manage all of the activities. And so these kids are a little bit more free. So I've had, and again, I have always followed the approach when I found someone of sort of like, when is good for you, as opposed to me finding a date. And then going to try to find people, because that's exactly like I would have 8 or 9 people that we knew. But that's the thing. They're all busy, or like, is there a football game, or they have band practice, or like, well, this girl can only do from this time to this time, or this kid. I just find it, like you say, very exhausting. The thing that really worked for us, though, is doing a swap with other like friends, which I know can be hard. Mm-hmm. It's like you need to find someone that's almost outside of your social group. And that's kind of what we did, is find another family that was in the neighborhood that we knew and we liked, but was not in our like, hey, we go out together group, or we would want to go do something. And we just swapped babysitting. So if that meant that they came to our, like we would feed the kids at our house or whatever and hang out, and then you know, one parent went to put those kids to bed and the other parent stayed at our house, or we put everyone down at our house. Like there are lots of ways to do that, but that is what ended up working the best for us. And then of course there are places like care.com, there's college nannies and sitters, like places like that. That is getting way more into kind of your like formal babysitting. But if the problem is that you can't find like reliable care, those people you're going, you like, they're doing this as a job. So this is, it's like they rarely cancel on you, right? Because you've like booked them and figured out. And we have used that. Care.com offers free memberships through Blue Star Families for military members. So we have used that when we've first gotten somewhere and we need some care during like unpacking or something like that when the kids were younger.
Yeah, and full disclosure, care.com has advertised on our show before, but they are not currently. And I was going to suggest that too. And also, I see occasionally next door solicitations from young people in our neighborhood. Hey, I'm 17, looking for a babysitting gig. So you might look at next door as well. But Jamila sent this piece around to us earlier this week. It's called Whatever Happened to Teen Babysitters. It was in The Atlantic by the author Faith Hill, not the country singer Faith Hill, I don't think. I guess I hadn't thought about it in these terms, but the idea of like babysitting being this quintessential American experience isn't that anymore. It was, starting a long time ago and even into our childhoods. But like at this point, the piece talks about the teen babysitter as we know it has all but disappeared. There's a researcher that says, quote, teenagers don't seem very grown up these days. There's not much reason to fear or exalt babysitters anymore because our society no longer trusts teens to babysit much at all. So it's like something about the culture of babysitting, that was like a norm for kids. It's not like that anymore. Oftentimes, people who would have been babysitting a generation ago might be, you know, studying for AP classes or, you know, in piano or worrying about college. And, you know, parents are less likely to hire babysitters because they want their kids to be like learning another language or, you know, going to gymnastics, or, you know, the kind of overprogramming of parents has in a way, you know, lessened the demand for babysitters, and then babysitters themselves don't feel competent to do that. I was surprised to know that in Illinois, you're not allowed to leave a kid at home alone until they're 14. And so this idea that you're going to have like a 12-year-old babysitter would sound blasphemous to a lot of parents now. When did you two start hiring babysitters for your kids?
I've had very limited experience with hiring babysitters for Naima. I always say, if you don't want to hire a babysitter, just like leave your husband and have joint custody, and then you don't have to worry about that.
The classic slogan, yeah.
Yeah, but the one that I used when Naima was about, I think we started with them when they were about 9 months old. She was a friend of a friend. And I think I just put a call out on Facebook that I needed someone to do some babysitting. This is when I was going to work. And she had a daughter who was the same age as Naima, and she would bring her to our house. And she ended up babysitting for us, you know, for a few years. And her daughter and Naima to this day are like OG besties. They love each other so much. I did have a former intern who babysat for us on a few occasions as well, but in general, haven't had to do a lot of searching for babysitters. I've been fortunate to just send her to her dad when I need to go out.
Mm-hmm.
We started pretty, I want to say the first babysitter I remember, when Henry was like first born, like I think 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we moved, the military moved us. And so I had like other spouses on base that would take him while we were packing, but I don't really count that as like babysitting. But I think as soon as we got to Colorado, the family across the street had a 12-year-old daughter, and she started babysitting for us, but she, you know, had taken a first aid course, and her mom was right across the street. It sounded like a very like good situation. And her mom's like, I know she's new at this, so we'll just make sure we're home too when she first starts. And she babysat for us pretty reliably the entire time we were in that first Colorado assignment, which was like amazing. And I was like, oh, this is just like when I was younger, you know? And then after we moved from that, it was like, we never really reliably, I mean, the Netherlands, of course we found this girl, but I feel like since then it has just been harder and harder.
It's expensive too. I mean, what do you
to find?
The going rate is $15 an hour minimum, yeah, now. I mean, some of my friends go up to $20 an hour, which makes it prohibitive for us.
Yeah,
like
I
just feel like, you know, to get a babysitter for the night and to like go out to dinner, you have to like really be excited about that night. Otherwise, you're gonna feel, you might have like some buyer's remorse. We have a babysitter whom we love. In fact, I'm trying to bring her onto the show for our forthcoming teen panel. I think she's just brilliant. She's 17. She's the daughter of one of our dear friends. And she is like pretty reliable, but still she doesn't drive. And she is juggling her own busy high school schedule. She's a junior in high school. And she often isn't available. So I totally empathize with our listener here who even, you know, putting on feelers for three people, it's hard to get a response. But I really like the idea of the trade, like you were describing, Elizabeth. I mean, theoretically, it's kind of perfect, because there's no money exchange; it's just barter. But we haven't actually practiced that yet. But I really want to. I would really like to try to pull that off.
So when we were little, in my parents' little hippy dippy neighborhood, there was a babysitting co-op. And it was all the parents, and they had little poker chips, and you, like, when you joined, you, I don't know if they bought in or whatever, but you mm-hmm. got so many, and then the only way to get them was to babysit. And so, you know, everybody started with 10 or whatever, and I don't exactly know how the system worked, but it kind of kept honest to make sure, you know, people weren't, I don't know if at the end of the day you could buy out, you know, like if you were doing all this sitting, if you could get money out, or it was just like, well, you gotta take that. But they called them chits, and they that was my parents swear by that system, because they were all pretty much like dual working, trying to figure it out in this little neighborhood. But that's, I mean, it worked for us. And eventually we had like quite a little collection of families in the neighborhood that we would just put the message out like, hey, we got tickets to this thing or doing this thing. Could anyone just come by? You know, who can this work for? And I mean, we never felt like taken advantage of, and I never felt like we were taking advantage of friends either. Even though like at the end, you know, like when we're moving out, you often need a lot of care. Just like there's work events and there's all of this, and I felt like people stepped up. But that, of course, takes a lot of work. Like, it doesn't cost you anything monetarily, but it costs you a lot to build those relationships, and then also for you to have the time to take kids, right? Because you also need to be then available, which gives up your evening. But honestly, you guys, to go watch somebody else's kids and then get to sit in their house and, like, watch what you want or read what you want. And because, you know, kids don't come down. When mom's home, they come a lot, yeah. Right? But when it's someone else's mom, they're way less likely to be.
Yeah. I was just going to say, even though I don't end up calling on a babysitter or anyone to babysit for us often, I do take care of one of Naima's friends every so often so her mom can work or do stuff. And I think that like having an arrangement where you all trade on that time would be, I think that's a really, really helpful suggestion.
Yeah. And I mean, I totally understand that you're, like you say, pretty much resigned to not having adult plans until your son is old enough to stay home by himself. But there's also a cost to not going out. There, you know, you need to go and have your fun, get some, you know, get a break. And, you know, a lot of people say it, and I think it, because it's true, like, it's a really good investment, getting a babysitter. You're investing in your relationship, you're investing in yourself. So, in some ways, it is, I guess, easier not to have to coordinate with babysitters, not to have to make plans, but, you know, it's also teaching your kids some independence and social skills by leaving them home with someone else. And it's giving you an opportunity to go and, like, you know, nurture your relationship with your partner or your friends. So I do still deeply believe in the babysitter.
Especially in those toddler years.
Oh, yeah.
like I just feel like it's constant.
I just want to say, like, I've heard really good things about care.com. You know, all of the sitters on there are background checked. They have an average rating of 4.7 out of 5 for their providers. And it'll open you up to people in your area that you wouldn't have been able to connect with otherwise, because they're probably not using any other method of advertising if they're on care.com.
Yeah, we have always found good people through care.com. I do think, though, care.com feeds into what the article talks about, though, which is like, now babysitting is professional and it's not just something that you know pick up. I also thought the article was interesting because it kind of, I have like romanticized babysitting. I was a babysitter. I like to babysit. My kids sort of joke, especially Henry, is like, well, when I go back, like, can I babysit? He like wants to take a you know, the CPR class, which, again, I would say the babysitting in homeschool families, like, this is, it's much more common because the kids have more time. But I thought it was interesting that it also brought up that, you know, some of the ties to women and being kind of underpaid in that this was like training for mostly girls to like have these motherhood tasks, and we could like pay them less than you would pay a professional caregiver. I was like, ooh, never really thought about that. Just kind of thought about how this was like something society needed. And as a child, you couldn't work, you know, you couldn't like go get a job. So this was like a good way to start getting some of those skills. And when I think about it, it's like the skills that you get from babysitting, like, yes, I learned some household chores and like taking care of kids, but I also learned like a lot of problem solving and a lot of, I think the first time like I called to get a pizza, mm-hmm, or the first time I did that was when I was on the clock, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't think until I read the article just about how babysitting as it once was just reinforces gender norms.
No, me either. I know.
That girls need to learn care, nurturing, and child, you know, rearing skills. But you would never, I mean, how many people would hire a teenage boy to babysit unless they knew him very, very well? You know, like a nephew or a next door neighbor. But, you know, most people say, I'm not leaving my child with a boy.
No, I mean, we've had boy babysitters before, and I always think of them as daytime babysitters, which is like the most, because my kids have the best time with them. But like girl babysitters, I come home and my house is clean and they've done the dishes, and they like, that is just not the experience I've had, which is a complete like reinforcement of every gender stereotype.
Yes.
I hate myself a little bit, but my real world experience, right, is like the kids are like, we had an amazing time. And I'm like, yes. And the house looks that way, right? Like, I mean, when you get, I don't know. I just, my experience with other babysitters, you get home, like the house is tidy. You know, it's not clean. It's not like they cleaned your house, but they picked up what they played with.
Two counterpoints to that. Our amazing babysitter who I mentioned earlier, hopefully she's not listening, she's not doing the dishes, and I babysat a lot as a kid, and I never did the dishes either, so I don't know of many babysitters, like, you know, 14 15 16 year olds who are tidying up, but I think they're an exception rather than the rule.
I've just been really lucky.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
I think
I've
so.
Been really, really lucky.
You have been. All right. Well, as always, listeners, we want to hear from you. Have you been able to figure out the modern babysitter market? Share your ideas for this parent with us by emailing KarenFeedingPod@slate.com or by leaving us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. We're always curious to know what you think. We're going to take one more break and then we'll see you back here for recommendations. All right, let's move on to recommendations. Zach, what are you recommending?
I'm recommending Ninja Warrior classes. Have your kids gotten into Ninja?
No.
We did it some in Colorado. Like, not classes, but we had birthday parties and things like that at them.
I think it's the coolest thing. Noah first was introduced to it. I think it was at her aunt's house. We started watching American Ninja Warrior on TV, which is a very fun show. Fun family entertainment. But she did gymnastics a bit last year, and just, you know, no judgment against gymnastics in general, but there's just something about how serious gymnastics can get from a really young age. And there's just this kind of, you know, I think unspoken pressure that the kids might be exposed to in gymnastics that I find Ninja not to have a whiff of at all. I think it's just like really fun. The classes are co-ed. We go to one where we just have to like call or email that day saying we're going to go. It's informal, but it's also like the trainers are really cool and they're like encouraging, like, you know, when Noah's like struggling with the monkey bars, like a lot of, come on, like you can do this. It's great exercise. It's kind of, a great way to plug your kid into something athletic without like the pressure of winning or losing. I just think it's super cool and super fun. The class that we go to is an hour once a week. It's not a big commitment. You can go more if you want to. Like some of the kids in this ninja school like have ended up on the TV show. But others just like to like climb a rope and mess around. So the commitment is kind of up to you, whereas I found like with gymnastics, etc., you have to like buy in and kind of go hard. But Noah's really into it, and I think like if you're trying to figure out something for your kid that's kind of like in between sports and exercise, and like I think Ninja might be the one for you. Just Google like Ninja classes near me. Most cities have a couple Ninja facilities now, so highly recommend.
I think too, in 2028, Ninja is going to be a Olympic sport.
Wow. Okay, good. So Noah can start working.
Yeah. Maybe start her training now. Forget all that stuff about it just being for fun. No, but I mean, I think it's like gaining like popularity.
Yeah. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Does she have a favorite like obstacle?
She loves the monkey bars.
Just like over and over.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's so cool. Plus she can show off her skills on the playground.
Absolutely. What about you, Elizabeth? What are you recommending?
Okay, well, April 8th is coming, and we are going to have a solar eclipse. I think like 98% of the U.S., you guys are going to get a partial solar eclipse. Some of you are going to get a full solar eclipse. I have been out of the country for both U.S. eclipses, which just pains me because like the educational and opportunities here, plus just like the wonder. To me, a solar eclipse is like the moment in which you can realize that we're just like a ball floating around in space with these other balls. I don't know. There's something just like wonderful about that. But here's the thing. You need to get your solar eclipse glasses if you don't have them from 7 years ago. You need to get them now. You need to make sure that they are the right kind so that you are not staring into the sun and blinding yourself. So do that now. There's a link to ones that are like approved. You can get those brands on Amazon. Just make sure you're buying ones that are produced by one of these people on the list. Otherwise, there are people out there that make ones that are not. But I think what's even cooler is that NASA has this great info page. If you want to like watch a video about what the solar eclipse is with your kids, it's there. Cool. But the coolest thing that's there is there are going to be 3 citizen science projects that are going on during this solar eclipse. And if you don't know what a citizen science project is, it's basically where they call out to people because they need large data gathering during a very particular thing. The one that I am most excited about, you can go check out all 3. Some of them are like, just snap a picture or download this app. But the thing that I think is very cool is they're doing something called Global Symphony. And they are asking like us, the citizens, to collect data on what animals and insects are doing in the moment where it gets dark and comes back. And so you can find, you know, with your kid or find yourself a bird, a something, and take a little video of what it's doing and help scientists understand like how this affects nature and what different animals and bugs do. Even if you don't want to do that, just make sure that you go check it out because I think it's really cool. So that's coming on April 8th.
We're taking the day off school and driving down to Ohio to be in that path of totality.
Path of totality.
We're very excited.
Jamila, what are you recommending?
So I'm recommending, this is for parents, not for kids, a docuseries called Quiet on Set. That's on HBO Max or Max, as it's called now. It's about the inner workings of Nickelodeon in the 90s and early 2000s and some of the really egregious abuses of children that were taking place back then. There were 3 sexual predators that were employed by Nickelodeon during that time period. And just a lot of really... Like, there's a big focus on Dan Schneider, who was kind of like the architect of the Nickelodeon that a lot of us grew up on. I mean, not all of it, but like shows like All That, Kenan and Kel, he was responsible for. And he integrated some really gross adult-coded jokes into Nickelodeon. Like, there's a really... They have an awful kind of supercut of Ariana Grande as a very young girl, you know, appearing to, she's like playing with a potato. But
yeah, massaging a potato, I think it's called, right?
Yeah, she's massaging a potato, trying to get liquid from it. Wow. Just a lot of really weird stuff that was going on back then that most of us, you know, had no idea about until recent years when those rumors started hitting social media. It's really powerful, and I think it's really important for these former child actors to have their opportunity to tell their stories. So, you know, I would definitely give it a viewing, especially if you've ever considered getting your children into entertainment. It's very eye-opening.
Yikes. What show was Ariana Grande on?
Ariana Grande was on Sam and Cat, I think. She was elite. She was elite.
Yeah, a lot of people have been talking about this show. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really something to watch. Well, we always want to hear what you guys are into, listeners. So seriously, be sure to reach out to us and keep the conversation going. And that's our show. Please subscribe, leave a rating and review, and tell your friends. This episode of Care and Feeding is produced by Maura Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is the VP of Slate Audio. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Zach Rosen, I'm Jamila Lemieux. Thanks for listening.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.